Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Okay, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WVFF 97.7, any day in God's Word is good day, and I challenge you to get in there and read it slowly, methodically, read it out loud, let it go into your own ears, and read it over and over and over again. Don't plan on going home without reading it through at least once, and I challenge you to do it 150 times. All the way through, because God will give you something new every time you read it. You didn't realize that Adam wasn't the first man created, did you? It's in the book of Genesis. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. Get in there. Between the lines. Read every word. God created man, male and female. He created them in his own image. And he said, replenish the earth. What does replenish mean? That means to put back the population that was there before. You go to Jeremiah and you'll see where there was a world before this one. And God flooded it in his anger. And he put out the sun for eons. But he said, I know that one day my anger will cease and I will start again. And Jeremiah says, and the earth was void and without form. And you turn from there to Genesis 1. It says the earth was void and without form. And darkness covered the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light for at least the second time. It's all in there. Catch up with us on WVFFradio.com and your eyes will be open. But Adam wasn't the first man. Nope. You ever wonder where Adam's sons got their wives? Well, your preacher told you that, well, that was daughters that Adam and Eve had. The Bible didn't say anything about them. No, no. When Cain killed Abel and God cursed him, send him off in the thing. What did he do? He took a wife. There was only three people in the world at that time because he'd killed his brother. And he began to build a city. Who do you build a city for?
Right. Why would you need a city?
And right. Plus, when he said, God said, I curse you to be a vagabond, to wander. And he says, no, that's too much for me. Everyone that finds me will want to kill me. Who are these people?
Yeah.
There's so many things between the lines. You haven't been told the whole story. Adam was God's special creation. He created mankind to replenish the earth. And then he wanted a priest, a covenant man. He wanted a priest to serve him in his temple, which was the garden. There's so much more to the story. Catch up with us. WVFFradio.com. We're in Deuteronomy today. Moses is finishing up his book of remembrance to try to keep the children of Israel straight because he knows how backslidden they are always, how stiff-necked they are. God's words, stiff-necked. He says, I have to write you some cliff notes because I know you're not going to read the law. Priests don't even like reading the law. It's massive. And the law only came about because you wouldn't do what God asked you to do. Follow me with all your heart. The covenant he gave Abraham, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. You couldn't do it the easy way. So God gave you a hard way to do it. And it's very hard. Everything you do and touch can make you unclean and sinful. Before you had freedom, follow me with all your heart. God said, if you follow me with all your heart, you will gain control of this mind. The mind is contrary to the will of God, is what the Bible says. And this flesh is an abomination to God. He says, I place the spirit man inside the heart. And it's up to the man to gain control of the mind and the body. All things in moderation is the key to that. You feed this body more of any pleasure, food, drink, sex, whatever. You feed it more of any pleasure, it will put the spirit man to sleep. And you will become an abomination. Chapter 25. Moses is, he's given them a little pocket. Something they can carry in their pockets and remember who they are, where they came from, what God they serve, what to do, and what not to do. because he knows. In fact, he's going to spell out their entire future here in just a few minutes. Chapter 25, book of Deuteronomy. If there be a controversy between men and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. How wonderful is that? Justice is blind. The wicked will be judged harshly. The innocent will be compensated. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. Instantly. Look at that. Mm-hmm. You know, we got people on death row for 25 years sometimes. You know, he says, when you pass judgment, pass it now and have it completed right now. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed, lest he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes. Then they, brother, should seem vile unto thee. So, 40 stripes only. You hit him 40 times, not 41, not 39. You don't get carried away and beat him more than you should. This is the law. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. If brethren dwell together, and you know, that's just being kind. You know, that ox is going to take him a bite of corn every once in a while. Are you that stingy that you have put a muzzle on this animal that's working for you, that he can at least get a little bit of pleasure while he's doing that burden? If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. That's self-explanatory. Your brother dies, it's up to you to raise children unto his name. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother. Oh, well, wait a minute, Pastor Dave. Well, what if that other brother's already married? He'll be committing adultery. No, he won't. You can only commit adultery with a married woman. Get in this book and check it out. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him, and if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. Disgraceful thing. And this happened to Judah. Yep. Judah had three sons. Well, the first one died before he had a child. Well, he gave the next son to the wife. And the second one died also before giving her a child. And he told her, all right, I got a third one. He's a little young right now, but you just wait. And when he is old enough, he will give you children. Just what the book says here, he's following the law, but in his heart, he knew that he wouldn't. He thought the woman was cursed and that the third son would die also. So it goes all the way out. And I mean, she even pretended to be a prostitute because she knew Judah was going along a road. And Judah had wives, but she knew how men were and how men are. And she pretended to be a prostitute, and she tricked Judah into laying with her and giving her a child. And he didn't have any money with him. Go figure. Yep. One of the wealthiest men around. Yep. Didn't carry a wallet. But she says, give me your signet ring and your staff until you send me what you owe me for coming into me. He says, okay, no problem. I really want to do this. So they do it. She gets pregnant. He sends the goat. He's supposed to pay her with a goat. He sends the goat to where she was sitting. She's not there. And he asks, he inquires, he says, where is the prostitute that was here? He says, there's no prostitute here. There's never been a prostitute here. So he goes on home. And then Tamar, that was her name, she turns up pregnant. And what does Judah do? Judah says, okay, this is the wife of my dead son. She is not allowed to take another man. She apparently has become a whore. Bring her to me and we're going to burn her with fire. Really? Such a harsh, harsh judgment. And when she comes in, she's carrying his ring and staff. And he says, whose child is inside you? She says, the man who owns these two items. And he says, you have been more righteous than me, for I did not follow God's covenant. Everything has a meaning. Everything has a reason. And you got to get in here and you got to read, because he broke these rules, all sorts of bad things happened. A lot of heartache, a lot of turmoil and chaos for him. Disgrace for him, because he didn't follow the covenant here. That's what the law is. Binding. Absolutely binding. And it ends in death and separation from God. The original covenant, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. They couldn't do it. So God put the binding shackles on them. And then Christ came and he turned it back to the simplicity and the freedom that God originally wanted. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. One's a spiritual thing, one is an outwardly worldly thing, showing that you're following me. It's that simple. But the thing is, Christian, if you hold on to this law, you're telling Christ what he done just wasn't quite good enough. You know, the beatings and the blood that you shed and the death on the cross and the horrible feelings of all those sins that you put upon yourself. He felt what a murderer feels like. He felt what a rapist feels like. He felt what a thief feels like. This was the perfect man. He'd never felt these feelings. He felt all the feelings of all the sins that you and I have ever done. It just wasn't quite good enough, Jesus. I still got to hold on to a piece of the law to make myself feel holy. The Bible says, if you hold on to one tittle of this law, you must keep it all. And if you know Christ and hold on to the law, you make his sacrifice of no avail. That means it doesn't work for you. Figure that one out. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. It means he's not in control of himself. When men strive together with one another, when men have a fight, and the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand. Oh, this is one I mentioned yesterday. Unbelievable. Can you imagine? Yeah. There's many of you women out there guilty of this. You're lucky you're living under the freedom of Christ, because the law would have killed you for doing this.
And there are a lot of guys that do deserve it, though.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of guys that do deserve it.
But I get that. I get what you're saying. Because I've had my experience in my life.
And I've deserved it a few times.
Yeah, and it's just like, I felt like what he's saying should have been done.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like, no.
Okay. All right, so when men fight together with one another, and the wife of the one draweth near for to help her husband, deliver her husband
out
of the hand of him that smiteth him, putteth forth her hand and taketh him by his genitals, by his secrets, then thou shalt cut off thine hand, her hand, cut off her hand. Thine eye shall not pity her. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Do not care who she is, how wealthy she is. If she does this thing, if she grabs that man by his genitals, her hand is to be cut off. And there's another place in here that if a woman hits a man there, she's to be killed.
It kind of tells you, since we touched on it yesterday, about the way that men and women dressed, since we were talking on the, men shouldn't dress like women and women like men, how would she have access unless he was wearing something?
A robe. Yeah. Flowing. A robe. Like that. Yep.
Right. Because if he had breeches on.
Absolutely. And a man's genitals is the family line.
Right.
You know, the royal jewels. There's a reason they call it that. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You deal justly with everyone that you deal with.
No carnival tricks with you.
No, exactly. Yeah. If you're in commodities, you weigh out a bushel of corn, make sure it is a bushel. In fact, throw in one extra ear.
Yep.
Just because you don't accidentally short this person. Because under the law, if you accidentally short them, you're guilty still. You can sin unconsciously under the law. You can sin and not even know you've sinned under the law. You can touch a door handle that an unclean person has touched, and you are sinful and unclean at that point. That's what the law is. How you like it now? For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord God. Remember that Amalek did unto thee by the way, when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt bolt out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. You will go back, and I will have revenge, says God. God is the avenger of blood. You know, if someone wrongs you, turn the cheek and love them. God will deal with them. Chapter 26, book of Deuteronomy, between the lines with David and Jonathan. WVFF 97.7. And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which shalt thou bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Go to where he has placed his tabernacle, and one day a temple. And thou shalt go unto the priest, that thou shalt be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. The priest shall take the basket out of thy hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. Speaking of Abraham there, and the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voices, looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us unto this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. Thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and thy Levite and the stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hath given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. So, he's not saying you just tithe to the church. You tithe to the poor, you tithe to widows, you tithe to any of your neighbors that have a need. God doesn't want your money. He has enough of his own. He has everything. God is everything. He just knows that where a man's heart is, there his money is. If you can freely give your money, he knows your heart is following after him. But if you ever place that $20 bill in the offering plate, and there's even the deepest regret, I really needed that.
I could have went to the buffet this afternoon.
Yeah. You might as well take it back out. God does not accept it. He says so in here.
The very instant that you have that thought, it's tainted.
Yes. If you're going to church to tithe, you should be of a joyful heart. I can't wait till that offering plate comes around. I'm going to give.
And I don't care who it helps or how it helps, but yes. I just know it's going to help.
That's exactly right. And say you're in a church, a bad church, and they're not doing what's right with the money. But it doesn't matter. As long as your heart is tithing and you're giving freely to God, that's all that matters is your giving.
And he'll make it work out.
God will deal with those who are not using the money properly. Mm-hmm. And thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed. The hallowed things, the things that I care about, not the excess, the things that I care about, the best. I've given of the best that I have, I've not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, or given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Alms to the dead. He says, no, I have not given anything to the dead. Mm-hmm. There's no point. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead.
I was about to say, Jesus kind of went out, he kind of touched on this too.
Yeah, let the dead bury the dead. God has no use for your dead body. He will not resurrect it. He's going to resurrect the spirit man. Once this body is in the ground, it will not come out. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. Thou hast chosen the Lord this day to be thy God. The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. The Lord has chosen thee this day. You have chosen the Lord, and the Lord has chosen you, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. You follow all that. You are following God with all your heart, and circumcising your children. Too bad that the law had to be put on these people because they could not be obedient. Chapter 27, book of Deuteronomy. Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I commanded you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. Thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be when be going over Jordan that ye shall set up these stones which I commanded you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. There shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Pick the stones up. Do not carve them in any way. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stone, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Wouldn't it be cool to find those stones?
Oh, man, yeah, yeah.
And Moses and the priest and Levi spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. There is significant meaning in the blessing and the cursing there. If you read the lives of the patriarchs, you'll see that these were the good boys on the top and these were the questionable boys on the bottom. And when Jacob blessed them at his death, the ones on the top there got the better blessings. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be the man that hides his sins.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.